Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, mailbag edition. Thursday, April 25th. And there's one of the questions about my which is, I guess, a tick. And at the same time, sort of way for me, and I'm looking for different shit. So get used to that in the mailbag. If it drives you crazy, you're going to get a lot of them here. It is April 25th. It is Bruce Springsteen album announcement day. Yes, 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 fucking yes. His first new album, they say, in 5 years. Although his last album, High Hopes, is a bunch of like covers, and this is his really first original album in 7 years. Western Stars, it's called. And the first single, Hello Sunshine, I've heard a couple of times on Eastern Radio on Sirius. It's fucking great. I'm so fucking in. Nothing in life, you know, other than children, I suppose, makes me happier than like new Bruce Springsteen music, especially when I think it's good. And I think this is going to be good. I am so fucking happy. That makes me just, it just pleases me knowing that in the world right now, there's unknown Bruce Springsteen music that's going to be in my head and my hands and my world. And he's going to do a solo tour, which I'm excited for because he'll play a bunch of good songs. It fucking pleases me. It pleases me so much. I'm sure I'll talk. You'll get sick of Bruce by the end of this mailbag, I'm sure, but I'm going to talk about him a lot. Good week in the podcast world, I think. People seem to be pleased with how the stuff has gone. They did not love the Moroso podcast, and I got a nervous Mark Moroso text last night. I'll look it up. Here it is. Last night. This was what was your opinion of our last episode together? Moroso last night at 7:22 p.m., my response. I don't really remember much about it, which is true. I spent a lot of time thinking about the filler podcast I did when two guests bailed. I had to bring somebody in. He said, you're going to hire this new guy. And I'm like, who the fuck are you? These people are crazy. Who the fuck are you talking about? And he said, you mentioned on the episode you recorded today, which came out yesterday, that there's a new producer you interviewed and liked. And I just said, relax. Like, just relax. There was. We interviewed a kid a couple days ago. We've liked all the people we've interviewed, but one in particular I think stood out and brought some good stuff to the table. That process continues to go on. I'm actually going to do another interview after this mailbag and then a few more next week. As we continue to do that, is in a possibility of some people that are new candidates out of nowhere, which is good as well. No real Marty Walsh stuff to update you on. I may have stuff on Monday. Had an interesting phone call today, this morning, about that as well. A lot of phone calls this morning. A lot of meetings. Working. As we do episode 116, which is a mailbag episode. I tweeted out this morning at 7:21 that I'm taping a mailbag today. Let me see. Understanding that A, I'm never going back, and B, I'm aware of the ratings. Then I said, any questions? And the questions started flying in. Radio Commenter asks, with Entercom Afraid of You Live on air, is the approach going, a lot of these, the approach going to be a daily two-hour podcast similar to the Adam Carolla show, which I haven't listened to much, I have to admit. News segment, interviews, bullshit with co-host producers. Also separate pods focused on crap that interests you, taking down enemies, frauds, Bruce praise, da da da. Good question. Thank you for that. I'm going to thank all my questioners today as I try and be more fan-friendly. I think that's a decent model to look at. I think the idea of doing 2 hours taped and then having it go live an hour or two later, in this world, is definitely possible. Wouldn't surprise me at all. And if it feels like a live show to me for 2 hours, I don't care if it's live or live to tape. We post 4 hours later. I mean, you know, as long as shit doesn't get scrubbed, I really don't care. there will be, I think, some co-host stuff. I think there'll be obviously producers. And yeah, I think you might get, 2 hours of what feels like a show. And then maybe once a week or every 2 weeks, a podcast, which is longer form interview, a book I like, documentary I like. We know how that goes. But I think you're going to see some of the characters I've already sort of brought into this world, whether it be, you know, Sue or Alyssa Klein, or any of these other people, maybe characters on the show as well. We're going to try some new people here over the next few weeks. I saw a lot of questions about, you know, the show, the podcast you're doing now is different than the radio show on the old station I used to be at. Well, obviously it is. First, I'm alone. You know, secondly, if you bring somebody else in, there's that more of that stuff back and forth. And it feels more like a radio show. Right now, it feels like a podcast, which is exactly what it is. Until we get, you know, a floating sort of group of co-hosts that I think I'm going to start bringing in here in the next week or two, just to see what it sounds like, because it's just still experimental to a large extent. We're not going to know, right? So I expect that. There's one thing I think you expect going forward. If asked, would you go back and do NBC Sports again? No, I don't think I have a lot of interest in that, nor do they have any interest in me. I shouldn't say that. So if they called and said, hey, Gary wants to do a show with you, you know, it's been a while, obviously he's been sick, like he'd like to have fun with you for 15, 20 minutes, I would definitely do that, no problem. But the idea of like driving in there on Monday night and sitting there in your suit waiting for the producers, who are all great, by the way, coming up to you and saying, okay, yeah, A block, you're going to talk about Kyrie Irving, and the B block, you know, what do you think Belichick's going to, like, I am in a way looking down on people who do that, but it just has such little interest in my life now. Like, I didn't watch Game 7 the other night. I'm not going to watch the game. Like, it has no interest. And, you know, there are people who do this job, the job I used to have, who pretend that they, like, root for the teams and they watch the games when they're rooting against the teams because they don't want those teams to win because that team is on one station. It's so fucking tiring. Let me see. Any thoughts on how you can use your platform even more to raise awareness of mental health? Love what you've done so far. That's Carl. I don't have real concrete plans right now. Maybe I should. I'll just continue to every once in a while. You know, I tweet out a lot of stuff. Every once in a while, if it's interesting to me, I'll do an update. God, this studio's hot. I'll do an update on how I'm feeling or how someone else is doing. Maybe have someone else on. But I'm not really sure. It's a good question. I haven't given as much thought as I should. But I will. You see here. What did I ask Marty Walsh? Well, you know, I kind of went over it in the podcast yesterday. You know, it was off the record conversation. There is, I think, potential issues with Marty Walsh and this company called LB Strategies that the Globe wrote about. You can look it up. I'm not telling you anything new. That employ his live-in girlfriend, and the money has gone up to them has spiked significantly in the last few years, particularly once she started. And certain things don't add up, and there are questions that are legitimate questions that I gave them 2 weeks to answer, and they had no answers for me the other day. Since it was an off-the-record conversation, I can just tell you, I can't say what Walsh told me or didn't tell me, but I could tell you that my appetite to continue digging in was not in any way curbed by the answers he gave me. In fact, they were augmented. So that's what I would say. And again, I give him credit. I actually watched him eat an entire chocolate chip cookie, and he got very little on his shirt. So I was pretty pleased by that. Do you, Scott Neary, the great Scott Neary from my great friends at Buffalo Wild Wings, do you envision your show podcast being you solo or with a 25% contributing sidekick like Dennis Miller, Nerm McDonald? I think you mean Norm, Scott. I think you're more effective with the latter. I agree. My show will not be solo. I'll have somebody with me. No question. Another voice. A mailbag's different, but if you know this, most of the podcasts I have a guest on. You rant, unless it's a story you're doing, investigating, or, you know, it doesn't work. So, yes, there will definitely be that. You don't have to worry about. There will be another voice. DEC, Pray for Curtis, part of the Minifan podcast and the Blind Mike, whatever it's called, Blind Pod family. I don't know whatever the fuck it is. Go find him. Listen to him. Who's a Democrat with the best chance of beating Trump in 2020? I mean, come on. We know that is. It's Pete. I'm going to tell you right now, like, I would vote for him probably. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'm still going to have a hard time voting for Donald Trump for president, but I think Pete is definitely the candidate with the best chance out of the Democrats. There's not even, like, I could, they all, the other rest of them suck. Harris, Bernie, Biden, Warren. I mean, these are fucking, Seth Moulton, these are horrendous candidates. Trump would swallow them. O'Rourke, awful, awful, boring, fucking boring. I give Pete a good chance. I think he's got a good chance to win the nomination. My mom passed away in 2009, Will writes. My mom died. We can do a podcast about it, you fucking pussy. Be a man! Act like a man, for Christ's sakes! Fucking 44 years old. Your mom and dad died. Who cares? Grow up! And what are you doing? What are you doing wearing pants with no fucking... Look at this. You're wearing pants that you can tie together. Look at this. I have pants right now that the fucking... I don't even have a belt. I have belt loops. I'm tying them like a fucking child. I'm wearing a t-shirt and sneakers. Put on a suit, for Christ's sakes. Shave every day. Get real glasses. Get glasses a man would wear. Oh, your mom. No, you held your mom. Oh, you wiped your mom's ass. Oh, you rocked your dad to sleep when he died. Oh, he bled out. Oh, you gave a eulogy. Oh, everyone's dad dies, Minahan, you fucking pussy. Act like a goddamn man for the first time in your life. Jesus fucking Christ. Anyway, Will asks, where'd he go? Let me see. I can't find it here. Don't you forget about me. First of all, Simple Minds. Am I wrong? Simple Minds is unbelievably underrated. Alive and Kicking. Alive and Kicking is, I'm not going to say a top 10 80s song. I'll do that right now. Who's a fuck? Fuck you. I'm going to do the list anyway. I don't give a shit. I'm going to put Alive and Kicking at 10 and think if I can think of 9 better 80s songs. And I mean, I can name 20 Bruce songs I like better, but I'm being fair about this. Purple Rain, better. I'll pick 2 Bruce songs that are better. Brilliant Disguise is better. I'm saying singles, not like, you know, not like My Father's House. I'm talking about singles. That's 2. I'll just go with that one. I mean, are there 10 better songs in the 80s than Alive and Kicking? I don't think so. I really don't think. There's got to be a, you know, I love Foreigner. God, I love Foreigner. There's got to be a, I mean, is like Jukebox Hero better? Like, I'm just talking about like as a single. I'm trying to be fair about this. I mean, you know, like, you hear them a million times, but Every Breath You Take or King of Pain are better songs, but I'm so sick of Every Breath You Take that you don't want to hear it anymore, right? I mean, you know, is Billie Jean better? Of course it is. When Doves Cry is better, for sure. And I'm going to leave Van Halen out of it. Is there a Phil Collins Against All Odds better? Is Beat It better? Yeah, I'm just thinking again, like, there. I'm thinking of songs that were hits. I love Alive and Kicking. You know, like, I love Hall & Oates, but I mean, I don't think they have a better song from the 80s than that. Right? I'm just going through the list in my head here. I'm going to put in the top 10. I'm going to say it. I have the balls to say it. Put fucking balls on the table right now and say it. I think I'm right. Anyway, so Will about my mom, about his mom. Where is it? Oh, it's a bucket list. I really have not done a bucket list thing. Will, thank you so much for asking. I don't think like that. No, I don't. I want to go to the Masters. I went to the Masters. I haven't really thought, like, I'm not a big traveler. I don't want to jump out of a plane. I don't want to do stupid shit. Like, I kind of want to, you know, go up to Maine a little bit, play a little bit of golf, go to my kids' games and go to bed, you know, and do this. Like, I'm not, read some good books. I couldn't even think of anything. I don't want to, you know, I like driving. I want to drive across the country again. I want to take Route 90 the whole way. I want to go from Boston to Eatonville, Washington, and back, and I want to do it in a week. I'd like to do that. Like, I like stuff like that, but I don't know. Is that a bucket list thing? Who the fuck knows? Okay, I'm not answering that. I don't care about those people. Let me see. Callahan Forever. How's your mental health been lately? Have there been any near relapses? Are there certain events, times in your life today that are triggers and make it struggle to get through? Parents' anniversary, struggles with the radio show, intercom, listening to Dale and Keith, etc. I said this in the podcast yesterday. I have sort of detoxed completely, and I think it's a good move, from the place I used to work at and the people I used to work with and were friends with. I have blocked them all, and I hate doing it in a way, and I hate doing it sort of cold on them and them not knowing, but I had to do it. Something happened at the end of last week. There was just a real asshole thing from somebody there that really upset me. And I'm like, why am I getting this upset about these people? Let's just fucking be done with them. The whole group of them, and wish them luck, and I'll do my thing. They do theirs, and we're not connected, and good luck with everything. You know, I have no ill will at all toward them, really, other than, other than what happened again last week, which is not even that big a deal. Life goes on. Good luck. See you later. I think it's just easier for me to do my thing and for them to do theirs. but that ties into the question. The anniversaries are difficult. Last year it was worse and led to some really tough things. This year it's not quite as difficult, but still difficult and getting closer. My dad was May 4th, and I could feel, I've talked about this before, spring, and it just feels right now, the crisp air, the light it late at night now feels like looking out the windows of hospitals and hospices, and it just feels very familiar. So I'm struggling. You know, a couple of days ago was not a great day. Today I feel pretty good. And I hope I feel good tomorrow. And the meds have helped, and running has helped, and being able to sleep more has helped, and getting away from a really negative situation professionally, which, again, I helped create, is a help as well. Being around people who I respect, who I don't think are going to, who I think will fight for me. I worked with the people I worked with prominently in my last place, the person whose name was on the show with me, didn't even, including him, you know, didn't really fight for me or have my back. And now that's not the case here, I don't think, but we'll see going forward here. But I feel good today. I don't know how I'll feel good. I don't know how I'll feel tomorrow. No questions, but a request, says Jay. Coming up on the air since my dad passed, and I could use some dead parent humor. Well, I just did some, but I'll say this, Jay. I know who you are, and I talked to your dad well before he died when he was still clear of mind, and he thought you were a fucking loser. I remember him coming up to me and saying that, and I was surprised because I was like, I don't really know who you are, and I don't know who @WaldoMDK is, but he said to me, he said, just so you know, I'm dying. I have about 2 weeks to live. I am JW Senior. My son is @WaldoMDK, and he's a fucking zilch. He's a zero. I'm embarrassed for him. I really hope he doesn't have kids. If he does, I'm going to be embarrassed for them. My real life, the manhood, the JW bloodline dies when the fucking dirt is thrown on me, because I'm going to be stuck looking down, probably up, given some of the sins I made in my life being JW Senior, some of which I couldn't believe JW Junior. And for the rest of my existence, I'm going to have to look at this fucking loser. So I don't really want to answer the question, Jay, because it's kind of personal. let me see here. Why are so many tweets being yanked off this thread? Is that actually true? I don't think that's true. I didn't see that, though. I'm just kind of, as you know, looking at them now. if you had to do a remake of one of your favorite movies, which would you choose, and who plays the lead? Director optional. Could you do... I hate remaking stuff that's great. I think it's just fucking stupid. I think it's dangerous, and I think it's, you know... Although, I will say, in a weird way, I'm looking... Because I like Woody Harrelson so much, I'm oddly looking forward to this, and I like Marissa Tomei, too, to this All in the Family thing. Almost as an experiment, I'm fascinated to see how bad it is. Woody Harrelson's a great actor. What's interesting about him is, you know, if you see Three Billboards or True Detective or even the one he just did with The Highwayman with Costner on Netflix, which is okay, not great, you never, ever, ever, ever think of him as Woody Boyd, who was an iconic sitcom character. So now he's going to actually play another one. Even John Krasinski, friend of the show, former podcast guest, future podcast guest as well. Like when I see him now, even in A Quiet Place or whatever, I still think of The Office. I do. But I never think of Woody Harrelson that way. And if you said to me right now they're going to remake All in the Family, who would you cast as Carol O'Connor's role? Woody Harrelson is not the worst choice I have heard for that. I know it's a one-off and it'll probably be terrible. But I'm looking forward to that. But in terms of a movie, like, I'm trying to think. Like, so if you did Midnight Run, which is probably my favorite movie today, if you remade that today, and the original one, by the way, with De Niro and Grodin, like, De Niro was in, and they kept going to different people. First, it was going to be Cher, and Cher is in, you know, if I could turn back time. And then it was going to be Robin Williams, and then it was going to be Bill Murray, until they landed on Grodin, who turned out to be perfect. If you remade that today, like, that's, so the question is, who's De Niro today? So De Niro at that point in his career in the late 80s had so much history as a great actor. He had done all the Scorsese stuff, right? He had done it all. He'd won 2 Oscars. He was in Godfather 2. He was in Raging Bull. He was in Taxi Driver. He was in Mean Streets. And he was in Deer Hunter. I mean, he was in everything. So he came with all that. I don't think there's anybody De Niro's age at that point, which is probably, what, mid-40s? Early mid-40s? Who is that today? Like, comes with that sort of... Let's just, you know, you want to say Bradley Cooper, for argument's sake? But he's already done a shitload of comedies. Part of the beauty of Midnight Run was a lot of people, I guess they hadn't seen, you know, King of Comedy, which I recommend you watch, with De Niro and Jerry Lewis, Scorsese movie, which is fucking great. And De Niro's unbelievable in it. But people didn't think De Niro could do comedy. Well, Bradley Cooper's done comedy. I'm trying to think of a straight-laced guy with a droll sidekick. And sadly, they'd probably have it be Bradley Cooper and, like, Galifianakis, and it would suck. It would be fucking terrible. Untouchables, right? Untouchables today, Costner could actually play the Connery role. And what, Gosling? Maybe Gosling and Costner? With, I don't know, pick your other two guys. The nerdy guy is Jonah Hill. Is a Charles Martin Smith role. And Garcia, the young hotshot guy. You know, pick your young rising star, and let's say Sean Penn is Capone. Does that work? I mean, would you go see that? That doesn't sound so bad to me. I mean, I would never remake it, but that's what I would do. You know, I actually want to answer this one, because although it's the place I used to work at related in a way. What did Tanguay say that got him kicked off for the final time? Reading between the lines, it sounded like he made some crack about the merchant situation, but I've always wondered. So that was my fault. He did, in a way, he made a joke about an advertiser bailing because of the whole thing. And I completely overreacted, and I was a total fucking dick in the whole show. I think it was like 6:20, and I sabotaged the rest of the show. And it wasn't funny. Like, sometimes I'd flip out and say I'm going to quit, and it was amusing. This was not amusing. It was me being, like I was so often that last, say, 3 or 6 months, deeply unhappy, depressed, angry, really rage-filled. And Gary was trying to do what Gary did best. And I did. And that was, you know, some things aren't my fault, and some things are. That was totally my fault on that one. So that's exactly what happened. A lot of questions about how terrible Moroso is, and listen. I mean, I don't know what you want me to say. It was a rough last 20 minutes. The last one. How will I react when Bruce inevitably passes away? I think that's a reasonable question. So he's going to be 70 in September, and he's taken me now to me being almost 45. I became a huge fan when I was 9. It's going to be upsetting, you know, it's going to be sad. But, I mean, I hope he makes another 15, 20 years. I mean, I have to think at that point his music's going to be less and less prolific. But I like the idea of him sort of having a Johnny Cash, like, last 10, 15 years of his career musically, where he does a lot of acoustic stuff, you know, a lot of stuff. Even this new album seems like it's experimental, things he hasn't tried before. I like that. Like, I don't need to. I love the E Street Band. I love those tour shows. I've seen enough of them. Like, I mean, if they tour again, God knows I'll go 15 times. But do I need to see Bruce Springsteen when he's 70, 71, like, shaking his ass in jeans and, like, a T-shirt and singing Hungry Heart? Not really. Do I want to see him do 2 hours acoustically doing a bunch of songs that I haven't heard him do and do in different ways? At this point, yeah. I've had enough of the other one. I'm ready for that now. It's been a great ride, and I know people mock Bruce. And if you don't like him, music is never anything I've been particularly passionate about having wars over. If you don't like him, you'll like him. I don't care. You miss out, as I have on certain music. But he's been a great companion for me. He's been, you know, a great way for me to try and understand my dad and try and make it better and try and make me be a better dad listening to his music. And, you know, again, a lot of times when my parents were sick, I would, when they were sleeping, or I would put his music on and just listen to it, and it does relax me. I should also say, speaking of which, relaxing. This is bizarre and terrible, sad, tragic. It's relaxing. It made me think of it. Is the apple crunching lady? If you listen to my old show, one day I told the people I used to be on the show I was on about the this woman who would eat food. It was ASMR, as I later learned it was called. Sassy Snacks was her name. She would bite into apples and different food and whisper. And I found it comforting. Others may not have. So it comes to be that she wound up having, she's young, younger than me, I think, or my age, had pancreatic cancer, got diagnosed the end of last year and just died. It's fucking so sad. I was crushed. I felt so terrible for her and her family. Oh my God. It's so devastating. So it just made me think of that. If you want to look that up, terrible news. When did you start hating the Boston Globe? Well, I started hating the Boston Globe when they went after me. It's not that like I don't really, you know, if they had never gone after me, I'd probably leave them alone. I think they're liberal, which is okay, but they pretend not to be at times. I think they're dishonest intellectually. I think they're run by people who I don't have a lot of personal respect for and owned by people I don't personally respect. I think, you know, they hire people who I don't respect. I think the treatment of women is horrific and long lasting. And there are people there who I know have been have continued to do so. So, you know, I will, at any chance I get, if they do something wrong, I'm going to lead the charge against it because no one else is. And that's the thing I saw with Marty Walsh the other day was, you know, these the media are just a bunch of pussies. Like, that's, you know, that's just the fact. I watched them walk into this thing and he waved to a bunch of reporters and they all waved back and he held a press conference. He giggled. They treated him like a king. And it's like, that's not your job. Your job is to find things and dig things. And this guy from the Globe, Matt Stout, wrote a story that begged for reporters, real media people, to dig. But instead, I watched these people and they laid out the food and they ate the fucking food. They stuffed their faces, put their cameras up, smiled, giggled, asked some questions that didn't mean anything, and they left. And it's an embarrassing time right now in this city where I live, Boston. I don't know about other places. I'm going to try and move, get in some other parts of the country as much as I can in the next few months to get an idea of what's going on before I launch this thing nationally. But it is a scary time right now, and the media around here are a bunch of cowards and pussies. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Let me see here. Creed 1, Creed 2, or Rocky 3, Nick from Boston. The great Nick from Boston. So I loved Creed 2 because I loved the Drago storyline. Like, you know, that's what's the Cobra Kai show that's on YouTube now, and I see that season 2 is coming out. They flipped it, which made it kind of interesting. It made Johnny sort of sympathetic, right, and made Macho the asshole. Creed 2 made Ivan Drago, who killed Apollo Creed. Like, there's no... He didn't, like, punch him in the face and die like a boxing thing. Like, he shoved the referee away, punched him in the face, and killed him. And I still felt great sympathy for him and his son in Creed 2. I would rank it Rocky 3, Creed 2, Creed 1. I mean, Rocky 3 is the greatest, not just movie, the greatest piece of art ever produced in the world, not just this country. Let me see. Do you ever just watch a game or follow a team anymore just for the pleasure of it? I don't. Really, I don't. So I didn't. I'm trying to think of the last. I watched obviously football. I haven't watched any baseball this year. I've watched very little NBA or NHL. I watch a lot of golf. Obviously, it's a sport I care about the most. But no, I don't. I don't really take a lot of pleasure watching a game. Same guy asks best rock music books off of yesterday's post, which was the Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young book. By David Brown, I think his name is. It's out now. I finished it a couple days ago. I couldn't recommend it enough. If you like sort of gossip, rock history, you got to read it. And I'm not a huge Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young fan. Not really at all. Neil Young, I am. Again, not massive, but I'd say a pretty big fan. But just sort of the history of it and it weaves through the 60s, 70s, and 80s and 90s. I mean, you know, these guys go on forever, and it's intrigue and battles and arrests and hate and walking out of studio sessions and walking back in and trying to get back together. And then somebody goes to jail, and then Neil Young's, and you know, this total wild card. And I got to say, I tweeted it yesterday, like, you know, I respect Neil Young so much. I don't know him personally at all. He could be the biggest asshole who's ever lived, so I don't know anything about that. But I respect him professionally that he is really, even back before he became huge, didn't give a fuck what anybody thought he was going to do the music he wanted to do, when he wanted it to do, and he wouldn't let anybody affect him. I admire that and wish I had more of that myself. I'm trying to do it now, but I'm not going to lie and pretend that I don't pay attention sometimes to what people say, and it pisses me off. He doesn't give a fuck. He did an album, what, 82 Trans, I think the name of the album was, and that means, you know, just so everyone's clear, that doesn't mean transitioning. I don't want to get anybody in any trouble. It was basically a bunch of, the fucking robot album, like where he sang like a fucking robot, like, you know, in the middle of his career. And he would just do stuff experimentally just because. And I think that's just incredible. And it led to some amazing music. And he's the guy in that band, by the way, who obviously matters the most, is young. So, you know, but other, with the book about Warren Zevon, which is an oral history, is great. Bruce's book is good in spots if you're a big Bruce fan. But the book Bruce by Peter Carlin, I think his name is, from 5 or 6 years ago, was better than that. I'll tell you who wrote a good gossipy book was Don Felder, who left the Eagles, got kicked out. He came back, Heaven and Hell, I think it was called. And it's like, if you want, you can read that book in a fucking day, that Don Felder book. It's great. Tremendous. yeah, so I mean, I'd start with those three and then come back to me next time, ask me again. I'll give you three more. How's that? People want, some people, I think it's the same group, want Blind Mike and Mark Moroso to fight it out of my podcast. That's fine. Two dummies want to fight. Do I have to be around for it? Or they can just do it. Let me know. I'm in either way. Trying to get Brandy Love on. I got a couple of those questions. One of these F. Mary Kills with Mark Cannon's Balls, S.V. Callahan, Sporty R. McKenzie. I don't really have an answer for that. I don't really know. I think I'd marry Sporty. He seems like a... and by the way, I have heard rumblings from his representatives that I may take a day off next week or two, and I think Sporty wants to fill in for a day. I don't know what you guys think about that. So, yeah. Well, there's your specific vision for a show, more in-studio guests, radio versus podcast vibe. Also have on Emily Rooney, WGBH. I've kind of laid out the vision for the show. Emily Rooney said a very weird tweet over the weekend. I don't know if you guys saw this, where she said I looked like some guy in a movie and also moody. It was like 10:50 at night. It was like a female Dino tweet. I'm not really sure what was going on there. that's funny. Can you do more podcasts? 5 a week would be excellent, says Jake. Jake, I'm fucking doing 4 or 5 a week right now, man. I don't know what you guys want me to do. Couple more. Yeah, a couple more. Yeah, I don't really care about that. I don't understand that one. All right, we'll do this one, I guess. A couple people want to know have my former producer. I'm not going to do that. If he wants to tell the story and then I can respond to it, that's fine. Dave Cullinane. I'm not going to do that. I think it's, you know, it was an interesting situation. And quickly, I hope he does well. I have no ill will toward him. I think he recognized where the errors were made. I know I do. We'll see. Why is it Simmons on a home and home with your podcast? You were on his, which was surprising, since he steers clear of any real cutting guests with provocative opinions. I've not asked Simmons to be on my podcast, this one, yet. I can. I don't think he... I can't imagine he wouldn't do it. I don't know that. But, yeah, I don't know that he would or wouldn't. I'll ask if you guys want them on. And again, you can add Kirkman, tweet away if you guys think of any good podcast guests. I'm happy to try and get them on. We've got a couple lined up for next week already. We're going to keep doing this. I think we're going to keep trying this until we come up with, you know, a system that works. I think it'll be 3 or 4 a week, and I'm enjoying them. And I understand, like, again, I get the people who loved when the old place I worked at, some of the stuff I would do there, and it was all me. I mean, I'm not saying that just to be like, you know, every good idea came from my head. That sort of wild stuff right now without a sound guy jumping in, without a co-host, right now it's different. I think it's really good, and I don't think anybody else is doing anything like it, but it's different. But you have to understand, once the other parts are in place, then you'll get a combination of all this stuff, and it's going to be, I think, way different than anything else you're hearing right now. I mean, I couldn't frankly imagine listening to regular radio in 2009. I never do it anymore. I just would not work for me. Since you've had all this time to yourself, what's the weirdest shit you've masturbated to? Ryan B wants to know. I have not gone into the into that weird world of I'm like an old fashioned masturbator, you know. You're not going to see me get into the stuff with pissing on people and like that's just, well, you know, I'll give you an example. I'll go to Tube Glow and read some categories if you'd like. So I'll just pick a letter. Let's pick K. Kama Sutra, like that's for me is no, like I, that's no interest in me for me. Kinky, like I don't know what, you know, I know what that means, but that kissing, kitchen, knockers, Korean in homemade, Korean amateur. These are all no's for me. I'll go to one more letter. I'll go to D. D could be interesting. D's got a lot of them. Dancing Asian, Danish, dare, dark hair, dating, deep throat. Again, that's like so, it just feels so, like I would feel so wrong even looking at that. Dentist, I gotta click on that. What the hell are we doing here? Lesbian dentist, MILF at the dentist, vicious Japanese dentist, dentist and her nurse. Oh, yeah, I can see that. These women, by the way, are dressed, not dressed to be at the dentist, I have to say. The raunchy dentists, adorable blonde dentist. That does not seem professional at all what that dentist is doing there. So what's DESI? DESI. Do we know what that is? I swear to God, I don't know. There's a whole world there. Desk. Yeah, okay. Desperate. Diaper. Oh, my God. I got to click on that. Oh, these people, are you so fucked up? What the fuck? God, I'm on board. Like, I have no issue at all with whatever gets you off. But diaper boy punished. Nurse Isla gas mask perverted diaper. Buddies, Bubbles changes Apple's diaper. Look at this. This is a grown woman with a binky and another woman changing her. So, okay. So, like, this is what always interests me. So, clearly, I'll just click on that for the hell of it because, you know, I've never clicked on that before. That brings me to Pornhub. And this has been viewed 10,488 times. So at some point in history, somebody had to do this for the first time. Like, so it's a fetish, right? Clearly somebody, but in history, somebody had never masturbated to somebody in a diaper, an adult in a diaper before. And then one day it happened. So like whoever did that, that's like the most fucked up person who ever lived, I think. Let's go through, you guys want to go through a couple more or no? All right, we won't have to. We can do some more later. Let me see. One more and then we'll get out of here. Oh, the intro music. Okay, yeah. I don't know about... I don't know. You guys figured out. I suck with picking like how music sounds, an intro and outro. Moroso put in something, I guess, that they have the rights to from before, and they have some library of certain songs they can use and can use, and I don't really understand them, nor do I really want to understand them, so I just stay out of it. But if you guys think it really sounds like shit, let me know. If it's really distracting, let me know. I don't want that to be the case, but at the same time, I'm not necessarily married. I like the old, like, I don't know. I want it to be more like it actually is if you're out, like, hanging out with your buddy, you're on the phone or something, and there's no fucking guitar that starts playing at that point. You know, it's strange. Oh, this is good. Be honest, because I've got a few of these over the years and was recently almost accused as such. Do you run or have some meaningful link to any of the parody accounts? One of the funniest, the Clydesters, seemed to disappear when you walked for good. I can swear on the lives of my children that I have never operated any of these parody accounts. I will say this. Some of them are hilarious. The guy who does Dino's is fucking incredible. The Dale guy is funny. Sporty R. McKenzie is funny. But also like the Mark Cannon's Balls and Drunk Eric Curtis have turned into something else. You know, we've done some investigation, and frankly, those guys, other than me, ask more questions than anybody in the city. Like, they investigate and they care. And by the way, when a lot of people people I thought I was friends with and worked with or whatever, like, stopped caring about me. Like, these guys kept me going, kept my name out there. I'm loyal to the fucking parody account forever. You'll never hear me turn on those guys. I don't think they start shitting on me. I don't care if they think I suck. Say it. I am endlessly loyal to those guys because they care. They're interesting. And I believe this. Like, you know, obviously I'm the best at this stuff, but like, I'll put some of the podcasts I've heard lately from some of these guys and other stuff way above anything else that you can listen to right now and around here. It's not even a conversation. Like, I can't, you know, I couldn't even imagine putting on the radio tomorrow and listening to people talk about drafts. It has no interest to me. So we've got some stuff next week. This Marty Walsh situation we can continue to work on. We may have a podcast about that next week. I'm not gonna wait. I'm going to wait until it's done and correct before we go all in. We're making phone calls. We're working on it. And it's amazing. Like, I'm daring the rest of the media to start digging in. They won't. I know they won't. They're all bought and paid for. And the more you dig into it, you see donations are made to these people and they pay back. And it never ends. So I'm learning slowly, stupidly, that this is how it works. And some other stuff as well. And hopefully some new show announcements, but maybe not. I'm not going to sit here and tell you the world's going to change on that. So that's the mailbag episode of Enough About Me. I gave you about 40 minutes worth. So we have some producer interviews here for the rest of the day. Then we dive back into it. If you want to subscribe, obviously, please do that. Please leave a rating. You can, you know, Stitcher, iTunes, radio.com, wherever you want to get this. Make sure you do that. And leave, if you like it, leave a 5-star rating. That helps as we continue to work with the advertisers we're going to have. And you're going to start hearing them here soon coming forward as we put this together. So that's the mailbag episode of Enough About Me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.